Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday family, we pray you had a blessed Monday, that you're having a blessed feast of unleavened, that you had a very good Passover. We are in lesson number 9, the Yah's Supper, the Lord's Supper, Yah's Supper, and this message is coming about, I'm going to say about 5 days late, considering, you know, as far as our studies go, it's not late, but as far as the feast days and things go, this probably would have been better a week and a half ago. Nevertheless, you know, this is to look at this subject in depth so that, you know, I've done done lessons on it, but not in depth, where we can know the gist of everything around this particular topic. So we're going to be starting in Yah's Supper on today. I'm kind of tired today for some reason. I don't think I slept well last night. But anyway, we are going to proceed as the Most High leads us. So I want to say Happy Tuesday to you all. And we want to greet those in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. With that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith. I've been doing a lot of stuff to my computer today. Hold on a minute. Let me get the statement of faith. Got everything up but that. How's everybody today?
Good. And yourself?
Tired.
I'm good.
I don't know why, but I am.
Yeah, I heard you say you're tired.
Yeah. So I was sitting here about to go to sleep.
Well, you know, Brother Miles, you do a lot.
I might need to slow down.
Maybe.
I might need to. Yah's in control of that, though, because his work has to be done.
Amen.
Can't lay down on that. All right. Ladies, cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You just so good to us, Father. You worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And Father, we just bend down on bended knees to you, Father, and we glorify you and we magnify you and we lift you up. We worship you this evening, Father. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Father. You are worthy of all worship. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you for keeping us safe, Father. We want to thank you for keeping loved ones safe. We want to thank you for unction in us just to be in your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Father, we just glorify you. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah to you, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You are just worthy of all the glory and the honor and the praise. It all belongs to you, oh Yah Elohim. All belongs to you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our verse for this evening is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of Yah that which also I delivered unto you, that Yeshua, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, which represented his body. We're talking about the Last Supper, usually this is called, but I like to call it the Lord's Supper, simply because of what he has said to do with it and how we're supposed to consider it and how tightly this is bound to the Passover, because he became our Passover lamb. Now, I know when I did the lesson on the Feast of First Fruits, you know, that's also tied into the Passover. This is really Feast Unleavened Week, and all of these things tie together. And Messiah fulfills them all. And so the Lamb of God, the first fruits from the dead, the Passover lamb, these titles tie together. And if you want to know who Messiah really is, then you really should study his titles. And I've already done a study where we went through at least 90%, if not all of his titles previously. So on this, as I said, this particular lesson just happened, you know, I thought I was trying to time it for, really was trying to time this to get to it prior to Passover, but that didn't happen, so here we are. Messiah's Yah's Supper. So I pray that you have your pencil and your paper. I haven't sent this out yet. I haven't had a chance to go over it thoroughly. As I said, most of these lessons, as I come to a more excellent understanding, I try to improve the lesson so that when you're studying, you know, you have the latest and greatest. So I will get this out to you guys, but I haven't had a chance to go through it 100% yet. So I don't want to send it out yet. All right. So one of the things when I first came into this truth that it appeared to me that the modern church has distanced itself from keeping the Passover. And instead they have replaced it with the Lord's Supper or with Yah's Supper. And in doing a study of both of these events and, you know, and keeping the commandments, the new covenant, Messiah never did away with the commandment for us to keep the Passover. He never did away with that commandment. And so that commandment, you know, to keep the Passover is tied to coming out of Egypt, okay, and being delivered out of bondage in Egypt. And we know that in his Last Supper, he was telling his disciples, hey, I got to go to, you know, I'm gonna actually be killed and be raised on the third day. But he was actually instituting the new covenant, the new covenant. And in this new covenant, he wasn't changing the laws. Some were going to be modified. So we want to look at this in depth. This is a memorial feast to commemorate the fact that Yeshua gave his life to redeem us from the bondage of sin. It is often referred to as an ordinance because Yeshua himself commanded that we do it in remembrance of him. So let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. The book of Matthew, chapter 26. And when we have it, if we'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to get verses 26 through 29.
Amen.
Amen. And as they were eating, Yeshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink we can read verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So He said that this is the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant. And this word testament really is a mistranslation. It really is no New or Old Testament. It's New and Old Covenant. And so where they took the word that should have been translated covenant and they made it testament, it sort of changes things for some people. But understand that the old covenant that was sealed in animals' blood was being phased, being phased out, and the new covenant phased in, but the new covenant is really the old covenant with some modifications to some statutes and some laws. So it is a memorial of Calvary and its redeeming power. In order to fully understand Yah's Supper, one must fully understand the Passover. And so we're going to go through the Passover and how they are intertwined with each other, because his supper and the Passover and the heave offering, all of these things are intertwined. And he had to do all of these things to hold the title, okay, to hold those titles. So he had to become, you know, he had to do those things, to all of these things, to become our Savior and our Redeemer. He had to be faithful to the end. So we got to understand all of these together and how they're intertwined with each other. With the Passover in Exodus 12, verses 1 through 22, and in 42 through 51, was to Israel in the Torah. The Lord's Supper is now to the New Testament saints. I think I'm going to modify that statement because they go hand in hand. And Israel has a commandment to keep the Passover and not to do away with it, but it's perpetual throughout all our generations. But also, as I'm looking at the strangers that are coming into, you know, one of the things that has to clearly be taught is that the strangers, the Gentiles, those of another nation are actually, when they come into Messiah, are joining Israel. And, well, some of them are, not all of them. But all that are joining Israel who want to unite themselves with Israel, want to be one with Israel, want to be a member of the nation. And there are those that want to do that, and there are those that don't want to do it. But all those that want to do it have to understand that they have to keep both Passover this Last Supper ceremony. So I don't really want to teach them as they're separate events, but they're not. They're intertwined. Okay. The Old Testament or the New Testament saints didn't have or weren't part of the Passover, but if they wanted to come close to Israel, the law permitted it. Okay, and there were some things that the Gentiles had to do if they wanted to come close and keep Passover, if they wanted to come close and have a relationship with the Most High. There were some things that they had to do. One of the things that came to my mind, and I was looking it up last night, sometime I believe it was, because it dawned on me. I was like, when the Most High brought Israel out of Egypt, the first year, well, they celebrated the Passover that night that they left. And then they did it again the first year. But you don't find them doing it again. And it struck me, I was like, wait a minute. These brothers didn't keep the Passover the whole time they were in the wilderness. the whole 40 years. Anybody ever realize that? Ever think about that?
I did, but I didn't know what to think of it.
Well, I went, you know, did a little bit of digging. I looked in the scriptures. I know why they didn't keep it. And then I read some other people's opinions why they didn't keep it. And I was like, you know, you can just tell when I hate to say this way, but you can just tell when people are just carnal.
Yeah.
And they don't come anywhere near the truth. The you know, so I think we're going to get into that too. I'm going to find a way to incorporate that into this lesson. Because it just sort of, I was like, wait a minute. I said, what was the last year in the wilderness that they kept the Passover? And I'm looking in the scriptures. And I'm like, and see, the scriptures can be kind of deceiving if you're not really a real stickler for detail. And you don't go back and you don't really pick up on times and see, you know, when something is happening. You might read, you know, the thing that amazed me is you might read 10 or 15 chapters and you covered 2 months in the scriptures. And then you read one verse and you go some years. It's written like that. And so it had dawned on me before, and I was kind of like you, Sister Mary. I didn't really pick up on why, but last night I had to really go looking, and so I found it in the scriptures, why they didn't keep the Passover, those 40 years, 39 or 40 years in the wilderness. And so it speaks to being unworthy, not worthy to keep it. I think they observed it, but they didn't offer no sacrifices. And the Most High wasn't asking them for any. And then I found out why. So, you know, this is going toward everyone who is wanting to be part of Israel. We are Israel of the blood, but then those who are not Israel of the blood and they want to join themselves to Israel, we're going to start reading in these scriptures here in a minute, and I may cover it then, as to why they didn't keep it those 40 years. Now they got, you know, he said this was a memorial forever.
Well, that's what he said, right here in Exodus.
Then 40 years in the wilderness, they didn't keep it. And so, you know, it just dawned on me, and I was like, you know what? How many years in the wilderness did they keep it? When did they stop? When did they start again? And, yeah, pretty much. They kept it the first year, and by the second year, they had corrupted themselves so bad, the Most I didn't want them to keep it.
Unworthy.
And we'll find out why. And we got to know that, you know, like I said, keep learning things about the Most High. You dig hard enough, you'll keep learning. There's so much in this book. And so I never claim to know it all. I just keep asking questions, keep questioning things that, you know, I'm like, wait a minute. I don't remember ever seeing them, you know, in the wilderness. The scriptures don't talk like they did this every year. And then when I went and looked, I found out why. So we'll get into that today. But, you know, the Passover instituted in the old, in Torah, equates to Messiah being our Passover in the New Testament. So, and we can read that in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. And I believe we read that on last week as part of the Feast of First Fruits. So we'll go ahead and get it again here tonight. But as we look at this, you know, and I want you guys to really start asking yourself, questioning things in the scriptures. Why? Why didn't they, you know, did they do this every year? Because I try to go back and verify things. Did they do this every year?
Nope.
And then if I can't find it, then I'm like, okay, let me see. Why is it not, you know, did we, you know, the scriptures are written in such a way, like I said, you can read one paragraph and you went through 40 years. One verse. And then you can read 9 chapters and you went through 6 months or 2 or 3 days. And so it's, you know, about tracking it down. Okay, let's continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Purge out therefore that old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And by him shedding his blood and us coming up under his blood, just as the Most High had us to slaughter a sheep and put that sheep's blood on the doorpost, and everybody that was inside of that house was considered to be under that blood. When we accept Messiah as our Savior, he becomes our Passover lamb, because as long as we stay up under the blood and don't come outside, because if you came outside during that night of Passover and you were the firstborn, you'd have died. Because you came from under the blood. It's the same thing with the blood of Messiah. When we don't stay faithful to him and we go back into sin, and especially willful sin, we bring ourselves from under the blood. And so then we are vulnerable to losing our salvation, to being killed. Okay. The ordinances of Yah's Supper should be combined with the ordinances of the Passover. And I truly believe this. They are one and the same, and they should not be taught separately. They should be observed at the same time. The problem is that when you have people that are perhaps uncircumcised, because there's a law that you must be circumcised to take part of the Passover. But then part of Yah's Supper and getting into the kingdom doesn't require you to be circumcised. So there's that fine line. And I'm still going before the Most High to say, okay, how do you really want me to deal with this? Because Israel is commanded to keep it. And then we're commanded to keep, you know, the service of the new covenant as well. But those individuals that may not be circumcised aren't supposed to take part in the Passover. So I'm sure he will give me an answer. Okay, let's keep moving. All right, the ordinances of Yah's Supper should be combined with the ordinances of the Passover, with the exception that Messiah is now our Passover lamb. Now, we should not eat. We really shouldn't. I can't say that. I'm not going to say it because there's nothing written that says that you shouldn't eat lamb. I know a lot of people don't practice eating it for the Passover because Messiah is our Passover. And I can understand that in, you know, meat for meat, where he says that bread represents his body and the wine represents his blood. So when we are trying to per se keep with the lamb, that could present some problems. But there's nothing written saying you can't do it or you shouldn't do it. So I'm not going to say that. I'm only going to teach what's written. Okay. Let us not forget that Israel, that those that are the seed of Abraham, of the flesh, or by faith, converts, Now, the seed of Abraham is all about what? Can anybody tell me one word?
Obedience.
Obedience, yes, but that's not the word. It says one thing of Abraham. You can take one word and describe Abraham.
He was faithful.
Thank you. Faithful Abraham. And so being the seed of Messiah and being the seed of Abraham has all to do with faith. So this includes Jew and who? Gentiles. If they have the faith of Abraham, and they want to come in, then they are acceptable with the Most High. And this is what, you know, the scriptures are telling us. So faithful converts, which are, would be considered the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham are all those people of faith that have true faith. It's not about the bloodline. It's about having the faith that Abraham had, that he just believed the Most High. Okay? Let's go to Exodus chapter 12, the book of Exodus chapter 12. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to get, start in verse 42. Exodus 12, starting in verse 42. All right. It is a night to be much observed unto Yah for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yah to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. So this is every generation. If you know who you are, if you know you're a Hebrew, you're supposed to observe this. And Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. So that's an ordinance, right? He said, this is the ordinance of it. You can't just invite anybody to the Passover. A friend, a relative. If they don't believe and understand who they are, and if they especially as a male are not circumcised, they can't attend. Okay, so no, there shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money. We don't buy people for money today. When thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. Now, when the Most High instituted this ordinance, the only way to become part of Israel was to either be taken captive or purchased. You couldn't just join. Okay, couldn't say, oh, I want to be a part of the nation. This is not until this time when Moses is changing, well, not Moses, but the Most High is making a change to the covenant that he gave to Abraham. The only way to join Abraham and his family was for Abraham to have either, like he went for the five kings when Lot was taken, and he went after these five kings, and he went into battle, and he took everybody that these five kings from these everybody that these five kings took. From Sodom and Gomorrah, Jerusalem. No, they didn't take them from Jerusalem. They give the other towns that were around there that had these kings over them. Abraham came and chased them down and got these people back. And technically speaking, all those people that he got back, guess who they belonged to? Abraham. Yes. They were the spoils of war. And technically speaking, he could have kept every one of them. But he gave them back to their kings. And then he didn't take any of the tithe, didn't take any of the spoils of war for himself. He said, pay my men. But he says, I'm not going to take anything from you, lest you say that you made me what? Wealthy. And my wealth comes from the Most High. So he didn't take any of it. Okay. But technically speaking, they would all belong to him. He didn't take them. But the only way to become a member of his family was that way. He took you as a captive, and now you were his property. Or you were born into the family, or you were bought. But you couldn't come up and just say, I want to be part of Abraham's family. There was no provision for that. Everybody understand that?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, so that's why he said in there, but every man's servant that is bought for money, because that's the only way that you could get into the family prior to this change coming up in the covenant, okay, had to be bought. When thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. If he was bought, even though he was a slave, or she was a slave, they were considered to be part of Abraham's household. He was now their provider, just like one in his family, except for he owned them, literally. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. Now this is the ordinance of the Passover. Not how you perform it, but who can take part in it. So a foreigner, somebody just visiting, or somebody that you didn't buy them, you hired them as a servant. So let's say we went to work for Abraham in his orchard. Or he wouldn't even have an orchard, so let me change that. Let's say tending his flocks. We went to work for him, but we weren't members of his family. We couldn't take part in the Passover. If we were coming in from another country, or if we lived in the land and we were not part of his family, we could not take part in the Passover. Okay. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh. Shall not carry forth any of the flesh abroad or outside of your house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee. Sojourn means to live among you, just like we sojourned in Egypt. The scriptures, you know, when it uses certain words, it's imperative that we look it up because it's a certain status. Okay, and the scripture says, it doesn't say that we were in bondage 430 years in Egypt. What does it say? Can anybody recall? Because these things are important. So we understand it should make you look at other things. But wait a minute. If we weren't slaves, but we were in hard bondage, what were we? So it said that when a stranger shall sojourn. Let's look at another scripture. Let's hold your finger there. Learn how to spell. And I might have to look this up exactly. Let's get a couple of verses. Let's go to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. Keep your finger there in Exodus. We're coming back to that. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 23. And when you have it, say amen.
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 Amen. All right, amen. And Sister Rachel, do you want to read that for us?
Amen. Genesis chapter 21 and 23.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, therefore, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, thou shalt do unto me and to the land therein thou hast sojourned.
Okay, so we got this word sojourn there, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Verse 24, Sister Mary.
And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham, do you want me to keep reading?
Oh, I'm sorry. Genesis 21 and 34, not 24, but 34.
Oh, my bad.
That's my bad. I said 24.
And Abraham said,
Genesis 21 and 34.
21 and 30.
Go ahead, my son.
21 and 30?
21 and 34.
Okay. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days.
Okay. Are we ever told that Abraham was a slave to the Philistines?
No.
Okay. Anybody else?
No.
Okay. Sister Denise, Genesis 32 and 4. The book of Genesis, chapter 32 and 4.
And he commanded them, saying, thou shalt you speak unto Yah.
Where are you reading?
Jacob. Four.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me? Let me take it off this.
I can.
You can hear me.
Let me turn it up some, though. My daughter's in here. She's still working. Okay.
Okay, I'll start over. And he commanded them, saying, thou shalt you say unto my, Yah,
In that case, that word Lord there would equal master.
Okay, my master, thy servant Jacob said, thou, I have sojourned with Laban.
Uh-huh,
Laban. Until now.
Okay,
and
so.
Until now.
Okay, so this is Jacob talking. Jacob said, I have sojourned with Laban. Was Jacob ever a slave to Laban?
No.
So this word sojourn doesn't mean slave, does it?
No.
No.
Okay. Let's go to Exodus. Let me get the right verse. Thought I had it. I think he uses it with an ing. Go to Exodus chapter 12.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's where we were already at. Let's get verse 40.
Yeah, 40.
Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. And when we have it, we'll say amen.
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 All right. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. If sojourning doesn't mean slavery, what does it mean?
It means that they lived among the Egyptians?
Right, they lived or they were visiting there. 430 years. Let me get what the strong said this word means, okay? Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40, Strong's. And verse 40, who dwelt the sojourning. That word is in the Hebrew, moswab, M-O-W-S-H-A-B, moswab, a seat, figuratively a site, abstractly a session, by extension, an abode, abode, the place or the time, by implication, population, assembly, dwell in, dwelling place, wherein dwelt, inhabit place. So this is some place that they dwelt at for a time. Abraham dwelt in Egypt for a time, or in Palestine for a time. Jacob dwelt with Laban. How many years? How many years did he work for Rachel?
14, as far as I know.
14 total. How many? But he worked first. He labeled for her for what? 7 years.
7 years.
And then got tricked into marrying the other daughter.
Yes.
And then he labeled another 7 years. But it said he sojourned there. He dwelt there. That's what that word sojourning means. To dwell. To dwell there, to live there. So how long did we live in Israel? I'm getting good to read. In Egypt? Before we came out?
430 years.
430 years. Didn't say we were imprisoned there. Didn't say we were in slavery there. Said we were treated harshly there while we lived there. That's a different than being, what, enslaved? That's a difference. So this word sojourn means to live there. Doesn't necessarily mean to be in bondage there. Or to be a slave there. Now, we did the study on this, and we know that they probably weren't, if they were in captivity, if they were, the time that they were treated bad by this Pharaoh was probably between 80 and 64 and 80 years, max. That's not 430 years, though, right?
No.
So their living in Egypt was 430 years. When we go back to where we were at, let's go back down to verse 42 or 43. I think we were starting in verse 42 when we started reading. Yeah, I think that's what we were reading. Yeah, 42 through 51. Yeah, verse 48. That's where we stop. So what does this word mean in verse 48? When a stranger shall sojourn. When a stranger, huh?
I said, live there and visit.
Visit? No. They, when you, okay.
To join the family.
All of you are in Minnesota, but I don't believe any of you were born in Minnesota, were you?
No.
No.
But you live there now, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And you lived there for the past however many years, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't say that you were visiting, right?
No.
Right.
Okay, you are sojourning right now.
Well,
you're
I'm
dwelling there.
Minnesota.
You live there. That's what this word means. So they're not from Egypt, but they live there, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not from Minnesota, but you live there. And if you leave Minnesota, then we can say that your sojourning in Minnesota was this amount of time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what this word means in this sentence. So when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, that means that they have come there to live. They might have first came, they might have came as a what? A hired servant? They could have came as a visitor and decided, say, and decided, hey, I'm going to stay here. Now I live here. That doesn't necessarily make them a member of the nation of Israel, but they live there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So when a stranger shall live with you and will keep the Passover to Yah. Let all his males be what?
Circumcised.
If they stay as the status of a foreigner, that means that they are there visiting. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
They're not living there. They're coming to visit. They may be on vacation. They may be passing through. They are a what? Foreigner. But when the stranger shall live with you and will keep the Passover, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. So now we got a change. There's a change in the covenant. Up under Abraham and up under, you know, when it was first given to Moses, a stranger could not take part in this. And if we just left it at that verse, we would say all strangers didn't take part in the Passover. But now we know that if they come and live amongst us and they want to come close, they want to be part, then there's a requirement for them to be what?
Circumcised.
All their males. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. Now, this is where Israel has a lot of problem, because when it says they shall be as one born in the land, that means that they got all privileges just like one born in the land. And they have the laws. They got to keep the same what? Laws, statutes, commandments. They also have the same protections. The only thing that they were forbidden to do was to take part, was to actually become a priest and take part of. They couldn't become part of Aaron's family. They couldn't take part in the showbread and those holy things. But everything else in Israel, they were to be as one in the land. If you weren't part of Aaron's family, let me ask this question. If you weren't part of Aaron's family, could you look at the Holy of Holies? If you weren't part of Aaron's family, could you look at the altar?
Yes.
if you weren't part of Aaron's family? Could you look at the Ark of the Covenant? Could you touch it? You couldn't touch it. You couldn't even what? Look at it.
Yes, you got.
So even a Hebrew Israelite, one of Levi's sons. Aaron was one of Levi's sons, but Aaron had his own family, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to be a member of Aaron's family to look at or touch the Ark of the Covenant, the altar, or anything like that. You had to be part of the high priest family. Even the Levites that were Levites but weren't part of Aaron's family couldn't look upon the Ark of the Covenant, couldn't look upon the Holy of Holies. They couldn't even touch them when they were carrying them. They had to be covered. So for a stranger not be able to take part in those things would not be anything different. That stranger, that if Aaron acquired a stranger in his family, they could eat of the bread that they ate of, but they couldn't eat of the holy bread. I'll find that in the scriptures for you. There was a distinction made there, but that was the only distinction for a stranger. Other than that, they were to be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. So the same law that governs the Passover for the homeborn, you apply the same law to who?
Say that again.
The same law that applies to the homeborn concerning the Passover applies to who?
The stranger that sojourns with them.
Right, the stranger that sojourns among them. Come live here. You want to take part? We're not going to exclude you, but you got to do these things. Okay. So there's one law. We're not going to have a separate law. Thus did all the children of Israel, as Yah commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that Yah did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their army. Okay, so the law is, and this was never changed. This was never, the modification was at first, the only way you could take part in this was to be part of Abraham's family. Then as the Most High created Israel, then he says, okay, and I'm bringing you into the land. If there is a stranger that lives among you and wants to come close and take part of the Passover, then they must be circumcised, just like all Israel must be circumcised. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
One law. That was never changed. Wasn't changed in the New Testament either. Okay? So if you don't know, because in other words, the people, whoever takes part of the Passover has to put themselves in subjection to the laws of the Most High.
Amen.
And one of the laws of the Most High is, if you want to take part in this, you got to be circumcised. No stranger or foreigner shall take part in it. So from the start, he gives you the worst case scenario. You're a stranger and a foreigner, you can't take part in this. Now, if you're a stranger and you're living here and you want to, you've learned about this and you want to take part in it, then all of your males have to be circumcised. That's a law. It's a requirement. Okay, and that's even today. So you can't be at work and invite somebody to the Passover and they haven't committed to the Most High. Now, you can invite them to the heave offering. That's why I sort of did it that way this year, because the heave offering more so revolves around Messiah, the first fruits. But the Passover itself has what laws that go with it, has requirements that go with it, that did not go away. And even though Messiah became our Passover, we still are required to remember that the Most High brought our forefathers out of Egypt. We were supposed to remember this from generation to generation. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Okay, amen. So you don't want to go breaking the law, you know, trying to, you know, evangelize or to do good or, you know, introduce somebody to, you know, or have them over for dinner for Passover. Because then you're in violation of the commandment. If, you know, they turn out as it's a male and he's uncircumcised, then you just cause him to break the law and you broke the law. Okay. Messiah also commanded us to observe Yah's Passover, which was his last Passover meal. We may not separate or dismiss the requirements of Passover in lieu of keeping the Lord's Supper. We can't do that. Okay? We can't dismiss one for the other. We can't say, oh, we're in the New Testament, so we don't have, you know, we don't have to keep the Passover anymore. We have to keep them both. So we have to always still remember that the Most High brought our forefathers out of Egypt. And we have to remember that Messiah is our Passover also, as far as the new covenant goes. But we don't have a commandment in the New Testament or the new covenant telling us that we no longer keep Passover and remember what the Most High did bringing us out of Egypt. Okay? So we can't just do away with that. Okay. How can we? So let's see. Messiah has commanded us to observe Yah's Supper, which was his last Passover meal. We may not separate or dismiss the requirements of Passover in lieu of keeping Yah's Supper. If the Passover is holy and specific and has specific ordinances, how much more Yah's Supper? Because the Passover is dealing with the blood of animals. And Yah's Supper is dealing with the blood of who?
The Messiah.
Messiah, which is greater than. Messiah is greater than any animal, no matter how you want to look at it. But we can't get rid of one for the other. Okay. How can we in our right mind esteem Messiah less than we do an animal Passover lamb? And think that we do not have to keep the ordinances that apply to those who may participate in this memorial and who may not. We say we keep the law, then we have to keep all the ordinances he has dictated unless he changes it, right? Only one that can change this is the Most High. Can't find anywhere in the scripture where he changed it. And so we don't esteem one less than the other. We actually put more credibility on Yah's Supper and what Messiah did, but we still are required to keep the ordinances of the Passover. Okay. Anyone that wants to be a citizen of the nation of Israel is required to be circumcised, both in heart and in flesh. You know, there were some people who thought that being circumcised in heart was a New Testament thing. But the Most High always wanted Israel to be circumcised in heart and in flesh. So let's get that. Let me see if I can find that. It's not a New Testament thing. And I apologize. And these are probably somewhere down in the precept, but they're on my heart and mind right now, so I'm just going to go ahead and get them. Let me find a better way, a faster way to find this person that I'm looking for. Let's just do it from Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel 44. I want to get this from the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 44. And I know that is someplace in here other than this, but we're going to get it from here. Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel chapter 44, and when you have it, just say amen.
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 All right, thank you. Let's start in verse 5. We're going to read down to about verse 9. Ezekiel chapter 44, starting in verse 5. And Yah said unto me, Son of man, mark well and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of Yah. And you know, that's what we need to get back to, and I said we were going to do that, is complete our study on the temple. This is what this is talking about. The house of Yah and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering into the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, Thus saith Yah Elohim, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations. If you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised where?
In the flesh.
In heart. In the heart.
In heart and in what?
And in the flesh.
This is not a new thing, right?
No.
And I'll find it where he tells Israel that even before this, that he wanted them to be circumcised, the foreskin of their hearts. Okay, maybe that's what I need to look at. Circumcised. I can't even spell right now. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 10. And let's start in verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting in verse 12. And when you have it, say amen.
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 Amen. All right, amen. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes when I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is Yah, thy Elohim, and the earth also with all that therein is. Only Yah had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. So this circumcision of the heart, circumcision of the flesh and of the heart, is not a new thing. It's not a new concept in the New Testament. It's not something new with Messiah. He's telling us the same thing in the New Testament that he told us in what? Torah. And the problem with Israel, they never would actually circumcise their heart. That's what he said they lacked. They lacked faith. They remained, our forefathers remained stiff-necked, but they would not circumcise the foreskin of their heart, meaning with cutting away and exposing themselves to the Most High. Okay, let's continue. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. Back to Exodus chapter 12, and let's get verse 48. And when we are back there, if we'll say amen.
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 All right. Amen. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. So this person, whoever the stranger is, also should have also gone through a circumcision of the what? Heart? This was a requirement for Israel. They're talking about circumcision of the flesh here. But part of serving the Most High that he always wanted from Israel was circumcision of the heart and what? Flesh. It was never just a thing about the flesh. So they would have had to talk this stranger, you want to come close? Then you need to give your heart to the Most High. Yeah. And you need to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances. And they need to be in your heart. The problem is that we would have been being kind of hypocritical because it wasn't in our forefathers' hearts. Thus, those that wish to remain among their own people must be circumcised in the heart. The Most High said, as far as it goes for when we get into the New Testament of this, it's kind of an overview of what I'm giving you guys right now. For the strangers that want to enter into the kingdom, that accept Messiah, they're not required to be circumcised in the flesh. But they are required to be circumcised in the heart. Mosiah says, I look at the heart. And so when our forefathers were trying to get the Gentiles, some Pharisees, Acts chapter 15, when the Pharisees were trying to go out and say that the Gentiles, in order to enter into the kingdom of the Most High, had to be circumcised in the flesh, the Mosiah came back and said, no. They don't have to be. They're only required to be circumcised in the heart. Now, if they want to come close, like in Exodus, they want to come close and they want to keep the Passover, they want to keep the feast days, then they must be circumcised in flesh also. It has nothing to do with entering into the kingdom. It has to do with the covenant of the Passover. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. And this is, like I said, this is an overview. Acts chapter 15. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Starting in verse 1. Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, the circumcision of Moses had nothing to do with what? Salvation.
Circumcision of the...
Yeah, it had nothing to do with salvation. It had nothing to do with entering into the kingdom of the Most High. Most High said if they want to keep the Passover, they must be what?
If they want to keep the Passover, they have to be circumcised of the flesh.
Right. But now we got some Pharisees saying... They're going around where we find out that these are Pharisees. They're going around. He says there were certain men. It don't tell us who these certain men are right here. It'll tell us in a few verses down. They're going around, and they're saying that except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be what?
Saved.
Saved. So this is a matter of salvation and not a matter of the what? Passover. Everybody understand that?
Right.
We're awful quiet.
Yes, Brother Miles.
Amen.
I just want to make sure. So this is a matter of salvation and not the Passover. Even though Israel was saved up under the Passover, getting into Messiah's kingdom is completely different. Israel and that whoever came out with them were saved. Now we're talking about the salvation of who? Man. All men. So these men are going around saying, unless you are circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute, this is a big argument. They said no small. If you say dissension, we don't agree with you, you certain men. That's a dissension, right?
Yes, that's a disagreement.
Mm-hmm. A disagreement. And disputation, disputing it with them. This was no small one. This is what? This is a big problem, a big matter. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. So what are they going to Jerusalem for? The question is, do the Gentiles have to be circumcised? For what purpose?
To
be saved.
To get into the kingdom.
Right, to be saved. To get into the kingdom, one and the same. Okay, that's the question that they're going to go to Jerusalem about. We got some men running around saying they got to be circumcised. Paul and Barnabas are arguing with them, and it's a big argument, and they're saying they don't. Okay? And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Verse 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that Elohim had done with them. But there arose certain sect of who?
Pharisees.
The Pharisees was believing that it was needful to circumcise them. So who is this certain men? Some Pharisees that had been converted and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, when we just say keep the law of Moses, people want to, they get away from the circumcision to keep in the entire law. Did everybody understand what I just said? The
Amen.
Question is, the question is about circumcision, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And not about the entire law of Moses. Can we understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So when a lot of people read this, though, especially our brothers and our sisters, they'll see and command them to keep the law of Moses. They want to make this the entire law. But this is not what this question is about. This question is, should they have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses concerning when are men supposed to be circumcised? When are men and children supposed to be circumcised? Huh?
8 days after they're born, is that what you're asking?
Right. 8 days after they're born, right?
Right.
And when is a stranger supposed to be circumcised?
If you want to come close and keep the Passover.
That's what the scriptures say, right?
Right.
So now these Pharisees want them to keep the law of Moses concerning circumcision, because they see them as joining Israel. That's that's Brother Miles' words there. Because why would they want them to keep this law? The Passover's not been mentioned, has it?
No.
No.
This question is concerning entering into the kingdom, being saved. It's not about the Passover. There's a law saying that, hey, if they want to come close and keep the Passover, they must be circumcised. But this is something new. This is entering into the Most High's kingdom, and so there's a distinction there. And the law of Moses doesn't even apply here yet. What applies is what the Most High says concerning sin, breaking of the law. But did all strangers have to be circumcised?
No.
Well, they part of the Passover, yes.
Huh?
They take part in Passover, yes.
If they came, you're kind of muddled. If they came what?
I said if they wanted to take part in the Passover, they have to be circumcised.
Right. But what if they didn't want to be,
what if
want
they
to take part in the Passover, but they still wanted to live in the land? Did they have to be circumcised?
No.
No. No.
Okay. So this is a problem. There was never a requirement for all Gentiles, even amongst us, to be circumcised, only if they wanted to come close to the Most High.
Right.
Okay. So now we know that the Most High says he's going to send all men back to their own countries in the end. When he establishes his kingdom, he's going to put everybody back where they came from. And then do we have, let's go to Isaiah 66. To the book of Isaiah 66. I think that's where I want to be. Hold on just a second. Maybe that's not where I want to be. One moment, please. Go to Zechariah, wrong book. The book of Zechariah. Now, this is talking about the future. Zechariah chapter 14, the book of Zechariah chapter 14, and when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. And it shall come to pass, let's start in verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. We know the king is who? The Most High? Yah of hosts.
Yes.
And keep which feast?
The feast of tabernacles.
And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king. So this is telling us that, you know, when Messiah comes and establishes his throne on the earth, the nations are going to be required to come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, every year. Didn't say that they have to come and keep Passover, does it?
No.
They got to come and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. To keep the Feast of Tabernacles, you're not required to go into the temple, because where do you dwell at?
Outside the temple, outside
in booths.
Outside in temporary housing, in booths.
Or tents.
But you're not required to enter into the temple. So this is the only feast that the nations are required to keep. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say they got to come up three times a year. He said that they shall come up, what, year to year to worship the king and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, not Passover and Pentecost, trumpet, the heave offering, the wave offering, first fruits. Not those. Only one feast that the Gentile nations are required to keep is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles does not require them to enter into the temple. It don't even require them to enter into Jerusalem. Now, if they came to Passover and the Passover lambs had to be slaughtered at the temple, can a Gentile bring a sacrifice to the temple? A stranger, a sojourner?
No.
Let me ask this question again. Can a sojourner who wants to come close bring a sacrifice?
Yeah.
Okay. The answer to that would be yes. I have to find the scripture. But they shall be as what? One in the land?
One in the land, yeah.
And they could make sacrifices. Okay. They could offer sacrifices.
Wouldn't the sojourner have to be sacrificed to bring an offering to the temple?
Would he have to be sacrificed?
I mean, circumcised. Work
yes.
with me.
Yes, I'll work with you. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness.
I was saying, you going to kill them coming up in there? yes, they would have to be circumcised.
Okay.
But they're authorized to make sacrifices. And I'll find that scripture for you as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll find that, let me see if I can find that real quick before it leaves my mind. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Exodus. We're in 12, so it has to be somewhere around there.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't you singing? No, I wasn't singing. I was coming.
Let me try to find this another way. It's got to be in the same place, Exodus 12, somewhere around there. I know it's dealing in that same area. Let's see, this should be, we're in about 49 or 50 verse. Okay, hold on a minute.
This is the ordinance of the Passover. That shall no thing to be there.
Maybe it's in Leviticus. Let me try Leviticus 24. Give me one hot second here. All right, I'm going to have to find that one. I'm going to find exactly where it's at, but I assure you that it's there. That the sojourner who came close to Israel, who became as one in the land, they're authorized to make sacrifices as well.
Okay.
But I'll find it. I don't know why that verse is escaping me right now. But I do know it's there. I just have, it's the way it's worded, though. Okay, we'll move on for right now, and I'll find that. It'll probably pop up in my mind here in a minute. Okay, back to the precept. Messiah commanded that we, Israel, often as we do this, do it in remembrance of him. Okay, as often as we do this Last Supper, do it in remembrance of him. In order to understand the Passover, we must understand covenant and testament. This is a law up under the New Testament. It must be obeyed by all Israel. So all Israel must keep the ordinance of the last supper. Let us look into the Lord's Supper or into Yah's Supper and what it should mean to every true believer. Let's look at the word testament. This word testament occurs 12 times in the New Testament. Hebrews 19 and 15 as an example. As the rendering of the Greek diathetek, which is 20 times rendered covenant in the Authorized Version and always so in the Revised Version. The Vulgate translates incorrectly by testamentum, when the names Old and New Testament, by which we now designate the new section into which the Bible is divided. So we get this word testament from one translation, but they use that one translation to come up with the New and the Old Testament is what this is saying. Everywhere else, anywhere where you're reading the scriptures where it's saying testament, it really should be the word covenant. Everybody understand that or got that? Everywhere where you read the word covenant or word testament, it should be the word covenant. And they get that word testament from, anybody ever heard of the Vulgate translation?
The what?
The Vulgate, V-U-L-G-A-T-E.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't either.
There are probably three major translations of the Bible. The Vulgate, there is the Vulgate, there is the Egyptian one, the one that was translated out of Egypt, and I can't remember what they call that. And then there was the Greek translation. So the Egyptian one actually was written in Hebrew, but the Greek one was actually written in Greek. The New Testament was mainly written in Greek, the Septuagint. And then we have, so you got the Septuagint, you got the Vulgate, and there's one more. Old Bible that they used to translate from. But they had, you know, there were some differences in the translation. So the Vulgate translates this word that everywhere else is translated as covenant. It translates that word as testament or testamentum, which is a Latin word, the Latin Vulgate. So it was a difference in that translation, and that's where we got the new, old, and new testament. Why they went with that, nobody knows. But it really should be old and new covenant.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What time we got? 6:39? Yeah. Let me find, as we're going to start getting into the meat of this lesson, this precept, and I don't want to cut it off in the middle of where we're going to be at. So I'm gonna take the time to find this scripture right now that the sojourner, the stranger, could actually make sacrifice. Okay, to Yah. It once they became one in the land. And so they would have had to have been circumcised. Let me see if I can find this. It's just how I'm going to have to find it. Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna have to dig in and read. Let me play some music so it just won't be so quiet. I'm not sure where I'm. I thought this was in Exodus chapter 12 or 13, but I'm not finding where it should be. So, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna look. I find it.
Keeping us safe.
Okay, bear with me here.
Another opportunity to bring you this offering, God. This offering is only powerful if you receive it. So we're going to check our hands and hearts right now. Just make sure that they're clean. Make sure that they're pure. And we thank you, God, that we don't achieve pure hands and clean hearts by our own righteousness, by the work that you have done, the finished work. So our eyes are on that. Our focus is on that. We are performing for you. We're not trying to move anybody else's heart tonight. And I thank you, even as we said last night, I'm already yours, so I don't even have to perform in that sense. But there is something like a little kid going, Dad, look what I could do, that is just so necessary right now. And so take all restrictions off of us, all second guessing off of us, and just here's this offering, light the fire to it and let it reach you in a sweet and smelly way, all right? We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. You're so good, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you, God,
thank you,
for your favor upon us, for your life in us. Just take a moment. Come on, fill this room and just tell him thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, open your mouth right now just for a moment. Come on.
Oh,
thank you.
Come on, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, yeah. Oh, be exalted, God, be exalted, God, yeah, yeah. Worthy, 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 worthy. Let everything loose. Lift up your hands as high as they can go. Come on. Take them up. Take them up. Take them up. This is a sign of surrender. God, whatever you're trying to do, whatever you want to accomplish tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God in the highest.
like time stands still. Time stands still. Miracles happen in your presence, God. When you will, what you will, we will follow what you're doing, God.
Just ready to get good, too. All right, can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 15. And when you have have it if you say amen.
The number 15 or 16?
15.
15, okay.
All right. And we'll start in verse 1. Amen. Skip down. Numbers chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And then we're going to skip down to what we need. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land of your habitation, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto Yah, a burnt offering, or a sacrificing a vow, or a free will offering, or in your solemn feast, that's the three feasts, to make a sweet savor unto Yah of the herd of the flock, then he that offers his offering unto Yah, bring a meat offering. And now he tells them how to make these offerings, okay? Let's drop down to verse 14. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And if a stranger sojourns with you, or whosoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yah, as you do, what shall he do?
What shall he do?
One ordinance shall be both for you and for the congregation, also for the stranger that sojourns with you. An ordinance forever in your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yah. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourns with you. So this is even for the feast days, which means that this person has to also be circumcised, though, even though it don't say it here. Because he says, even in your what, feast days?
Even in your feast days, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a specific requirement if they want to come to the Passover, which is one of our feast days, our solemn feast days, that they had to be circumcised, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so this is speaking to that without saying it again. Just saying, hey, if they want to come close and they're sojourning among you, and they want to bring a free will offering, a peace offering, a meal offering, an offering made by fire, then they have to follow the same rules as those that are born in the land. But they would also have had to have been circumcised. But it's not saying that there. But if they weren't circumcised, they would be breaking the other law in Numbers chapter 9. Concerning the Passover, no stranger taking part in it. And if they want to come close, then they must be circumcised. Does that make sense?
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you.
So they're authorized to do it. They can bring, the offerings that were to be made by fire, they could bring them as well. Just as what the homeborn could do. But this was to be after they had accepted and, you know, had been circumcised. Let's bow our heads. We'll continue this lesson on Tuesday, next Tuesday, and then we'll get into the heart of it. We've got a lot of scriptures to go over, and basically what I covered was what was in the overview today. So we'll start getting into depth into a lot of scriptures on next week in this lesson. Father Yah, we come before you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for redemption, Father. We thank you for first loving us, Father, and for developing and giving a plan to save your creation, to save us, Father. I thank you for saving a wretch like me, Father, who's totally unworthy.
Yeah.
Just unworthy, Father, but you saw fit. It was in your eyes and in your heart to do it. Amen. Father, I thank you even now. Father, as we go our separate ways tonight, Father, encamp your angels around each and every one of us. Keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
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 All
Brother
right.
Miles,
so Thursday. Yes, ma'am.
Get you some rest, okay?
Yeah, I plan on it. I have to talk to my son. Him and my grandson are on this weird schedule where they are up like at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's up playing like it's the middle of the day, and I'm like, what are y'all doing? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What are y'all doing? I had to get up this morning, and we sort of got into it. But, you know, he's going to have to, you know, I think he's doing that so that his son will be asleep during the day. And it allows them to do some things. I say, yeah, but you're doing it at other people's expense.
That's right.
So, you know, you got to get them back on the right timing with us. And, you know, if we need to help you out, then, you know, we need to help you out. But this is not going to work. Anyway, that's my problem. Love you, sisters, and I will see you guys Thursday.
Okay, all right. Brother.
And
too,
we'll be
brother.
All right. Amen. We're gonna be talking about that information you sent me on the co-op.
Okay.
The grant for the co-op. I think that's probably something that we want to pursue.
Okay.
But we have to. There's some paperwork and stuff that we have to do, and some taxes that I need to do before we actually pursue that. But we do want to go down that road. And I think it's going to be part of the way that we're set up.
Okay.
I just got to make sure of some certain things. But we're going to start talking about it on Thursday.
Okay.
All right, amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So love you, sisters, and may Yah bless you and keep you both safe. And may he bring some warm weather your way.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get one day, Saturday, it's going to be 70 degrees. Then it's going to drop back down to 50 and stuff like that.
Oh, you're going to have a one-day heat wave, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to get it when we can.
I hear you. I'll be looking forward to every day that is cool here. Trust me. It looked like it was going to be cool today. Went outside, the wind was blowing hard, everything, and it was hot. It was like one of the wind blowing,
it was
and it's hot.
98 degrees in Texas.
98?
In Texas, yeah.
Mm. Yep, so I know that it's not far behind here. Usually it here first before it hit any place, here or Vegas.
Mm.
So if it's that hot in Texas, well, the heat has a way of moving toward the east, though.
Yeah.
These weather front. So maybe we won't get it yet. I'm not looking forward to it yet, for sure. All right, my sisters, let me get up from here and eat, and then go get in the bed.
Okay, brother.
All right.
Have a
wonderful evening.
All right, you too. Peace and blessings to you both.
All right.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Let's see here.
Just words. You have no beginning. without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo. Without you, there's